Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in Hour 2 of Old School. In case you missed the news, it's a three-hour show now, 3 to 6, taking you through the end of your workday and, of course, your drive home. Austin, JDP, the crew with you here on Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Without further ado, let's just start diving into what Troy Dannon had to say. The Nebraska Athletic Director had a lot to say, especially as it related to the finances in college athletics. So let's start with this. Some records being set for Nebraska's athletic department in terms of the number of donations and the amount. Here's an update from that on Troy Dannon.
A couple things from last year that I want to talk about. Competitively, I think we have 5 sports in the top 10. Bowl champion, crown champion, a couple of Big Ten champions. It was a really good year competitively. A lot to celebrate. We also won off the field. We had a 3.46 department GPA, which is a record at Nebraska. Nobody talks about academics anymore, but internally, we talk about academics all the time. So everybody's very proud of that. We had 11 more academic All-Americans last year. We also did some really good things financially. We set a record with 17,663 donors. We also passed $70 million in donations last year for the first time.
Interesting stuff there from Troy Dannon, obviously lauding all the great success. I think sometimes we get caught up in the big name, the money revenue sports, such as they're called colloquially, and Troy Dannon made sure to focus on a lot of the sports that had a lot of success throughout the year. But then that last part, over 17,000 donors and $70 million raised for Nebraska. Maybe that pushes back on some of what I've said about being a little bit worried about Nebraska financially. But then what Troy Dannon will get into later is, how is Nebraska utilizing that money? The fact that Nebraska brought in over $70 million in donations was honestly eye-popping to me. I would have lied if I said I would have expected it to be that high.
Yeah, I mean, I guess keep track of that, but it's good to know that people are supporting the whole program. Obviously, I think when people think of donations, you always think of like football, volleyball, basketball, and then forget everybody else. What it shows is that full support for the whole athletic department or all the athletic programs. And so you got to keep up, doing that. It's probably a good job on everybody that goes out and see the donors. And obviously the donors have to see something going in a positive way in order to get their money. So I think it's nothing but good things.
So on that, what is the role then of the 1890 Collective? I think this might clear some things up for fans, or at least make it clear as mud. Here's Troy Dannon on the role of the Collective for Nebraska.
A little bit on the Collective, and I want to go back and talk about a couple more things here with NIL and NIL Go and what everything means. I've been asked a lot about the Collective. A lot of institutions have changed their collective, or their collectives have rolled in-house. first, and we've all, I've said it, Matt said it, it cannot be overstated the appreciation that we need to give to Tom, Sean, Pede, and to those who are behind 1890, because they've done everything we've asked and we've needed. Whatever position, whatever trajectory that Matt's been able to take, football in particular, has been because of what the collective has allowed us to do. As we've talked through with the collective, what do these new rules mean? You know, their message to me is, tell us what you need us to be, and that is what we will be. The days of the collective collecting cash and distributing it as if it's NIL, but it's pay for play, those days are gone. That's the settlement stopped that. You know, they can still do facilitate NIL deals. They can still take, and 1890 has a lot of branded products, and they can still enter into NIL contract with athletes to promote their branded products.
A little bit of an update on that. We'll jump back into our conversation here after this. What does the process of revenue sharing look like at Nebraska? What are the steps that goes into it? Here's Troy Dannon breaking down Nebraska's rev share process now that the NIL pay for play that he mentioned with the collectives has gone out of style.
So we met with, about a year ago, met with every coach. Jonathan Bateman, who is what I would say is our guru, right? He was the NIL guru. He became, and I don't know what exactly the terminology is, but every campus has one person that's kind of the point into the system, and he is that person. He and I met with the sport administrator and every head coach and talked about what did they think they needed. And again, we're starting from nothing. Nobody knows what anybody else is doing. Normally, coaches will say, I need what they have. But they had to really show someone that, what do you think you need?
Life insurance.
And so we took that and then had another meeting a little bit later and kind of got the coach's input. My mindset coming in changed from talking to the coaches. I thought we were going to have one program and one plan and one size fits all. I would tell you we probably have 24 different models for what does football need, because it's different than baseball. Baseball needs scholarships maybe before they need rev share dollars. So there's a lot of that that the coaches had to decide. Then once we make the allocation of the revenue, it's no different than allocating budget dollars to them. Here's how much you get this year. The coach, just like a scholarship, the coach decides how much somebody should have. Then the coach and the sport administrator make that decision. It goes to Jonathan. Jonathan makes sure it from a compliance standpoint, that are we within the 20.5? Are we within the number that's been allocated before we submit it? Does everything work? Everyone who's getting a dollar in cash from the rev share has to sign a contract. It's a contract that's common across the Big Ten. My guess is this contract will be common throughout the A4. They sign that contract, and then it gets to me. And ultimately, then I sign off on the contract.
DP, your reaction to hearing about that process as laid out by Troy Dannon?
Having talked to Troy about this very thing, there's a whole lot of new road. This is not an established path. There's no super highway of concrete and steel to take you to where you need to go. One, you're not really sure where you're going or how you're supposed to get there. You do have some time constraints. In hearing it come about to say, okay, thank you to 1890 for what they're doing, Jonathan Bateman and his ability to navigate a whole lot of dark spaces and really dark corners, to try to do it with the best intention is to have compliance at the top of it. I'm glad compliance is a priority and a focus. And separating the difference between scholarship and revenue share and having a finite line between them will keep Nebraska out of some places that other programs will end up in inevitably. The fact that you have driven the line, you've drawn a line, and then you've made it a formal line, that there is a difference. We would rather be compliant in asking questions. It tells me you're being proactive and, quite frankly, transparent, that there are programs that need more scholarship than they need extra cash. It's good to know that line has been drawn and is being worked around.
Jay, the back half of that answer had a lot to do with contracts. Troy Dannon said Nebraska's contract, to his understanding, is a pretty standard one as it relates to the Big Ten and a lot of the A4, right, the autonomy four, or at least what will be, and that every student athlete that signs a rev share contract, you know, well, they have to sign a contract to get the rev share, and Troy Dannon is the one that ultimately signs off on it. Kind of your reaction to that process and that system for Nebraska.
Well, I think it's probably uniform. I mean, I think the sticky part is just to make sure that everybody's aware from, I guess, the NCAA or whoever makes the rules that they, the mothership, meaning the powers that be, are informing every university of the rules that change. I think it constantly is changing, like DP says, but as far as the process goes, you got the people in place, and that's probably, you know, what you need. You know, I don't think anybody's doing it any different. And I think the tricky part is, you know, which I don't really know, because I just look at it like, hey, look, they got to go play whatever sport, and the better you play, more money you'll get. So I like that type of, for me, I would have been just fine. I don't know, like, like, if I'm on just on pure scholarship, does that go against $20.5 million?
So,
or is that what you can pay outside of scholarships?
There are sports with scholarship limits, right? So you can't go above and beyond. And so, for example, you know, football with the 105. If you want to carry more than, you know, 105, okay, that's your roster limit.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Right, you can go up to 105.
So was it 85 scholarships still?
No, you can go up to 105 scholarships. But let's say for baseball, you can offer up to 34 scholarships. A lot of Big Ten schools want, let's say they offer 15 baseball scholarships. Some places will say, nope, sorry, the other 19 baseball players, that's the roster limit. You're out of luck. You're paying your own way. You're essentially a walk-on. Some places will say, no, you know what? We're going to use some of this extra $20.5 million to fund another scholarship for this program. Or maybe instead of funding a scholarship, we'll just say, hey, here's a $20,000 signing bonus to come play for baseball program X.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, that's the tricky part, is at least they have checks and balances, and I'm assuming what they're trying to do is even the playing field, right? I do think there's still a need for a collective, especially at a place like Nebraska, and if you got somebody that you can partner with, like the Pede family, that's willing to, I guess, change roles or, you know, assist them in what any way possible, I think that's good, because, you know, I think down at Bama, I think – essentially, their collective, one of the guys said the collective just went away. He's like a, you know, finance guy or whatever. So if they need the collective, say you need the collective to kind of step in and do whatever, if you don't have one, that's, you know, you'd rather have one than not. Obviously, it changes because of the revenue sharing. But you always need a collective, because people with collective probably got businesses who can essentially have players.
Find some money.
Yeah, and endorse the, you know, you got to actually endorse the product, right? Is that what you're saying? So
yeah. And you can still offer NIL deals outside the scope of rev sharing. Troy Dannon gave an update on the NIL deals that Nebraska has submitted to this new clearinghouse, right, the NIL Go. How is Nebraska doing in terms of playing by the rules? Here's Troy Dannon.
We've had 39 NIL deals submitted to the NIL Go clearinghouse. 20 of those have been approved. 4 of them just went in, so we haven't had a chance to get them back. The deals have been in range from 600 to 40,000. We've had 3, I think, above 35,000. Not every deal that an athlete has been submitted yet. It's up to the athlete to submit the deals, so that number will continue to grow. There's 15 deals that have not been, there's been no decision. We haven't had any deals rejected, but there are 15 sitting there awaiting a response. All 15 are deals between collectives and student athletes. And that probably is tied into the kind of back and forth over what the collectives were going to be able to do and what they weren't going to be able to do. So we're expecting some answers. Most of those deals are small, under $10,000. Of value. Most of them are not cash, but they're in kind. So we'll see how those deals play out. But honestly, I've been thrilled with everything that's happened with NIL Go. I think it's exceeding expectations for 6 weeks in.
DP, a couple things stand out to me when I hear that from Troy Dana. Number one is that Nebraska hasn't had any deals rejected yet, right? It seems like they have a pretty good sense of the rules and are playing by it so far. And number two, I think almost more importantly, it's up to the athletes to report the deals. Now it'll be the athletes, most likely their representation. But as we've said a lot on this show and other airwaves on this station as well, man, you got to make sure you have the right people in your corner to make sure that, hey, submit the deal, do it right, because you've got pretty good odds if you get it in.
Yeah, I that's going to be one that I would put a yellow flag on, that not as a penalty, but as a cautionary figure out that we deal with a lot of student athletes here, and the ability and knowledge of young people to deal with those business contracts, to deal with those formal filings. These are federal filings, by the way. And that the people that we're talking about, the assumption is that they have people connected to them that can walk them through legal filings and federal filings. They don't know. Most don't know how to file taxes, right? So let's just put a yellow flag there and say, go with caution in making sure that these deals are signed, reported, and dealt with according to plan and process. It's just a lot for me to think that these student athletes all have it done correctly and will follow through.
Yeah. I mean, it's like anything. I think I'm assuming even if it gets rejected, they kind of give you a reason so you can kind of resubmit it. So I don't think I would never say stupid, but it'd be just being oblivious to think that every contract, they'll just reject things just to reject it.
Well, no, it's the number. They've made it pretty simple that the number, the maximum number.
Well, sure, but there's obligations within it. Like, you can't just say, I want to pay you $1 million or whatever the max is, and you just got to do, one 10-minute, Facebook post. So
that's not the market value. So right, they probably say no to it.
Yeah, so they, so then they're like, all right, well, in this parameter for this pay structure, this is probably what we expect. And then so you have to, add or subtract that, so. Look, as long as they're doing everything on the up and up, and ideally if they have people around them that are available that can help them, navigate it, it's the best thing possible. I will say this. It's great to have, I guess somebody from Merrill Lynch or somebody I can talk to, right? But, nobody knows what it's like doing that besides the people who have done it and been through it. And that, that's not downgrading anybody. I'm just telling you from experience, the best advice I've got is people that actually been there and done it.
Lived it good and bad?
Well, yeah. Well, just because you're young, number one, they're young. Okay. You're getting paid like an adult. That means you have to make the adult decisions and you're still a youth or whatever. Like, look, they can't even rent a car.
Right.
All right. They can't rent a car. So their insurance rates, or no matter if it's a free car or not, is different than people after that. And the business side of it is just they just don't have experience. So you need to have people that have been through it that can navigate through it, because it's always a learning process, and they are now professional athletes. They're no longer collegiate athletes.
Jay, do you know quite a few 19 and below athletes?
Yeah.
How many, what percentage of them would you trust to sign a legal binding federal document?
They have people on both ends, because if you don't have if you don't have representation, I doubt that's probably you're able to do that. So just on the surface, if you just went to Lincoln High School or something, probably not many, because that's just not what the way they're being taught. That's why I think if you need, that's what to have accessible for somebody to come in and really walk them through the process of what it's like to be a rookie in the NFL. That's exactly who they are.
Who's gonna be there to walk these students through those things, and how did they get in a position to be the people that these student athletes would go through these things?
Well, there's a plethora of people, but I'm sure they have I had a financial advisor. I had financial advisors still,
provided by.
Mine was a little. I was lucky. Now, that's through a relationship through my dad, who was a college friend. I mean, it's a long, I mean, that's, but not everybody's put in that situation.
Has that network.
So you need
that. That's my point.
That's
my point.
You need to, and it's not, and the problem, here's also where you run into trouble, where it's like, I know what it's like. I said, I can talk from experience, right? That's the only thing I could talk about. It's like, okay, you know, the coaches need to coach. They need to do their job. Everybody else needs to do their, they're doing their job. Then you got the players, right? And this is where these guys are learning some hard lessons. They're here training, playing, running into each other, and yes, they're getting paid. But then there's a, and this is not every case, but it's a lot of cases. Then you got, let's just say six people, all six of them think they get paid when you get paid. So everybody's trying to protect their interest. Mm-hmm. That's first of all, that's, if there's anything brighter than a red flag, okay, that's it. Okay. Now, some of them, and it could be 50% good intentions, the other 50% bad intentions. Whoever gets to it first and gets their brain is different. You know, is that's where the part is. And sometimes you need somebody outside of the let's just say suit and tie realm that actually has some street sense. So, it's just some, the I's aren't dotting and T's ain't crossing. Let's just hold right here. So for these young kids, they're getting things that life lessons that nobody, that if you don't have somebody that you're willing, first of all, they got to be willing to listen. Number one, then whoever's coming along with them have to be willing to listen. So if they have agents, the agents have to have people that are,
that have their back,
that have, that are, that can give them the real, and the agents can't dip into that. Then if you got a financial advisor, you just need a financial advisor. You're not a marketer. So they're, you know, when people say what's different, they got a lot of stuff on their plate. I was lucky enough. You're always going to, you know, you're going to get hit over the head, but you better get in there and learn. Now I'm going to tell you what a good agent and financial, they going to take you and reluctantly, whether you're reluctantly, they got to drag you, or the people that you know are going to make you do it, you better get in there and learn, because this is your money and this is your future and this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get eight steps ahead.
To that point, no one is an expert in the system yet. It started first week of July. Here's Troy Dannon on the first 6 weeks or so of the new look of financials in college athletics.
As far as the settlement in general, I will tell you, I would urge through you, urge our fans, as I have urged our coaches, do not get frustrated with the growing pains associated with CSC, NIL Go, all the things that come with the settlement. It's like this thing is 6 weeks old, and it's no different than a freshman showing up. Peak performance does not happen day one. And I think a lot of people had this unreasonable expectation that day one, everything was going to run as efficiently as it's ever going to run. I've been thrilled with everything that's happened, and I'm a governance nerd. I think they're doing a great job. There's a learning curve, you know, and some people are going to embrace everything and some people are going to fight everything, which makes it just that much harder for them. It needs to work. It has to work for the sake of the enterprise. It will if, and I say the enterprise, if we give it the chance, if we like find the patience and tolerance to let this thing find its equilibrium, it'll work great. We've never demonstrated patience and tolerance. As soon as something happens that we don't like, we've tried to regulate it into a different direction. We just got to go through some growing pains. And that may prove to be, there may be some inequities, but I will tell you, I will take Nebraska's problems before anybody else's problems as we go through that. And that goes right back to the financial model. That goes right back. Everybody asks the role and the importance of the fans. It's showing up right now. It is showing up in rare form.
DP, is that athletic director speak? You think it's legit?
Well, I mean, Nebraska's finances, air quotes, when it comes to the athletic department, specifically football and the athletic department, their numbers are, as you said, he'd rather have Nebraska's problems than most, because Nebraska sits at a higher, they're in a different tier, financial tier, than other athletic departments and football programs. All of that is a statement of truth. Now, the management side of it, and then the administrative side of it, one, in corralling all of these 800 and some odd athletes into a space that is brand new and not necessarily secure with boundaries and transparency, and the parents that are involved across the board, across the world, and then the administrators who are trying to navigate and making sure that compliance is met, but freedom is allowed, right? Freedom to make decisions and all those things. Nebraska's place in it is better than most. The $20 million is not a back-breaking number to Nebraska athletics, except you have to remember that the university is working from a different financial plan and a different financial base with different financial concerns. So you cannot have a party in the kitchen and be broke in the living room. You just, it, the house doesn't work that way. So just have your eyes in the right place. You cannot have a big party in the pig, in the backyard and then not have electricity in the house. You have to make sure both are covered. Jay, am I wrong in that kind of perspective?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, that's like, I guess you're thinking like student enrollment, finances at university overall, and the athletic department. And, you know, I don't know if there's ever any crossover or you keep it separate. But yeah, I mean, it's a business. I mean, now it's a super business because the business in before was just how many kids you got on campus and, you know, and all that stuff. And then obviously you got government funding for a different department, all that crap that I don't like to get into. And then now you got to I guess, essentially raise or divvy up enough to make sure you're covering the 20 and a half, the 22 or whatever.
And it's climbing, right? It's the 4% jump every year they project.
It's a business in the front and a nonprofit in the back. The athletic department is a nonprofit. It runs differently. And yes, as you would try to keep them separate, but the reality is there's one budget and then another budget, different rules and different compliances, and you're trying to meet in the bridge in the middle and to make sure that both ends are covered.
And Troy Dannon talked a lot about that in the Nebraska model, as he called it, where athletics doesn't take student fees or anything like that, and they pay some money back to the academic side. They said their $5 million subsidy. He says protecting that model, you know, at all costs is the goal first and foremost. Let's go ahead and take a break here. More from Nebraska Athletic Director Troy Dannon when we return to Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back into Old School. Austin JDP with you, 3 to 6. This segment of the show brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Howland, Nebraska, and they offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give them a call today for more information at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Let's hear some more from Troy Dannon, New Age in College Athletics. As we talk about the financials and the money, return on investment is a key for Troy Dannon. Here's what the Husker AD said about that.
At the end of the day, one thing's still true, no matter what the number is, and if they took the cap off and we could spend as much as we wanted, it still comes down to, do you get $1.25 of value out of the dollar of spend, or do you get 75 cents value out of the dollar you spend? And so in some ways, having the dollar is one thing, but what you get out of it's another. You're talking about evaluating coaches. I've told the coaches, at the end of the year when we have our evaluations, we're going to go through the allocation of rev share dollars, and we're going to talk about ROI. Was the ROI in this allocation good? Was the ROI in that allocation good? And it's going to impact what happens the following year. So coaches have always been accountable to budgets. And in some ways, if you missed on a scholarship, we missed on a scholarship. If you miss on a $250,000 rev share allocation, it's a big deal now. So again, back to the role of the GM. Why are we spending so much on GMs and adding that personnel? The stakes are really high right now. The $20.5 million, that is about 1.5 times greater than the scholarship budget of the entire department. So it's a big number.
DP, your reaction to that?
So all of it, I appreciate his want to be transparent. He can tell what he can tell. The things that in the space you can't really go into. if you tell me that Nebraska's athletic department is running at a profit, at a surplus, more revenue generated than expenses, that is a statement of absolute fact. Verifiable, justifiable, et cetera. Then it's what do you do in the other spaces? Jay and I were just talking about it. You know, if you use track, there's 126 people on the track team, men's, 150 almost in women's. What you spend in it, the value of that is long-term, healthier people, right? Because if you said some of the healthiest athletes on campus, the people that tend to not need additional surplus help after they graduate from the University of Nebraska, because they will leap, they actually get degrees, they will stay in the communities. As a matter of fact, sometimes they will anchor in. So the return on the buck is greater than if you only have 10 people who then need to go on tour to go make money as pros, leaving this area and not returning any additional value. That value word is the key. What are you trying to get from it? Are you trying to get titles? Are you trying to get graduates? Are you trying to get generous generational alumni? If you know what value means to each program, then you can achieve it. It seems like that is being accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, that's I mean, look, it's, you know, whether the player ends up being good and, you know, whether you're, you know, a good player. And then, you know, there's a lot of things going. Do you get opportunities? Do you, you know, are you sharing time? Are you splitting time? Are you're a full-time starter? Or the plan was the plan for you to be a redshirt and get to four? Or, you know, I'm talking football, right? And, you know, whether it's basketball, okay, you're supposed to be good and this is supposed to be a big jump for you. Say you're already on the team and you get some rev share and you don't get into, I don't know, what, eight, nine, whatever the rotation is. And then it might be like, then there's other things that go into it. You know, do you, you know, what's your GPA? Are you, you know, attending class? Are you attending workouts? You know, all that stuff goes into it. That's where the contract parts. I said this, I think, Bradley, when we, well, a year ago, and maybe even before, I said when back when we were 48th and O Street, when you started to hear some things floating out about contract athletes. Okay. Now he's talking about having people that know how to manage the cap for and evaluate position groups. I'll just talk about football, the return on investment, how well the group does individually, the bell cow, so forth and so on. But on the flip side, it's a contract. So everything is evaluated. Who you are, how you act, are you a good teammate, are you not, and then what you do on the field. That's where the athletes are in for a rude awakening. And they've already done it in the SEC. I know for a fact, magically, deposits on 1 month and the next month has not matched up based on that performance on the field. That won't happen in Nebraska because they do it above board. So they're a little bit used to it. The contract part goes into it, and it's a bunch of a different evaluating like properties, but ultimately it's good. So then you know what you expect from the athlete, coach, program, so forth and so on.
Is it grading their recruiting essentially when you look at ROI?
Well, how many businesses are going to allow their executive to spend money and not be aware of the return value on it?
Yeah.
You can't miss in a scholarship now if you take the value of the scholarship and multiply by the number of years and the number of people. One, I don't want to turn it over. I don't want to start over, right? Yeah. Like the transfer portal is its own kind of asset system, but the reality is I want a freshman that comes in who is academically sound, of character, and who can compete almost the day they walk in. And those sports generally tend to be the non-revenue sports. You don't – football players, that's not how that works. You can go to bowlers, freshmen, come on in, get to work. Yeah. Swimming and diving, get to work. In some cases, but in the big six sports, no, it's long investment. It is a long – yeah, yeah. It's a thing. And then it's – if you value each scholarship at $50,000, $75,000, right? All the things included. Football, you get more things with it. So, yeah. That's a $300,000 investment if it's a clean 4 years.
That's right off the rip. That's right. Let alone anything on top of it.
Right.
Let alone the redshirt year, let alone.
Right, yeah. Right. That, okay, this is the thing. So, what business is going to allow a manager to make a decision that constantly costs the organization, the program, almost $500,000 per miss? Per swing and a miss, how many times do you get it wrong? The time you get it right is what you were supposed to do, right? The Dylan Raiola is getting it right. It's the ones that come in and for 2 years they don't play, and then they bounce. They bounce because they're not getting what they thought they were entitled. They don't get what they weren't willing to work and get what was due. All the resources and money you put into those 2 years, down the drain, gone, wasted. So you have to be aware.
Yeah, you got to be aware.
The flip side of that, though, is then if you use the transfer portal, that happened to someone else, then you're picking up the same 2 years, the other 2 years.
Would you rather train somebody that you know versus the unknown?
Yeah.
And there, I think with football and the bigger rosters, football in particular, right, it's probably that's just a known risk. You probably go in there with whatever percentage every year, right? And because you can't evaluate the competitor in somebody. You can't evaluate in a high school kid how he deals with competition or, you know, working while they wait. So I think you got to, you know, look at it like each sport differently. And that's why the revenue sharing part is such a, I think those need to be bigger, like thought of as different outside of the scholarships as contracts, because those are the guys that have to be your bell cows. Those are the first off the bus. Those are the guys that you know represent on and off the field, because those are the contracts that come few and far between. Now when you think about it, as far as being able to evaluate it, it's no different. Say like you got a law firm, you know, DPJ Austin Law Firm, and we put $400,000 of marketing to get the best guys out of law school. We have to see, okay, this guy is potentially going to be a partner in 5 years. This guy is just going to be a really good lawyer, and then we have specialty guys. That's how you have to look at it, because you put money into it, you're going to know and have a certain role or identify. I'm a big on, you know, role definition, because that can give you a clear, you know, idea what you're going to get a return on your investment. Not every kid that's recruited across the nation is thought of, okay, he's the next Tom Brady or whatever. Some guys are like, okay, he's going to be a great asset, you know, maybe be a starter for a year or two, core special teams player, a team builder. You know what I'm saying? Where you really can really make your money, right? Or not, I wouldn't say make your money, but really knock it out of the park, is the ability to get guys in, get the relationship that's invested in both, appreciate it on the one end, the receiver, and then obviously the blueprint by the coach or whatever. And the guys that come in, like, either under the radar, but then develop into more than what they originally were thought of, that's how you get the super return on investment. Because the guys that come in and bounce, that's always going to happen.
Think of this Nebraska basketball that Sam Hoiberg is a walk-on, right? Value, what you're getting from him from a PR standpoint, storytelling standpoint, a production standpoint, a value, a return on investment, all of those are boxes checked, which was a part of the whole Nebraska mentality, was that local folks who chose to be a part of this and were willing to do the work. Wonderful. That is a wonderful system. But we also know that there are three others that didn't make it. Sam's worth the other three you didn't get in that space.
It's going to be interesting, too, as we monitor coaches being judged on ROI. It's the same rationale when they get hired or fired, right? Not to pick at this old scab, but 16-31 was not worth $7 million per year, right? Even if it wasn't, you know, phrased in, hey, you weren't giving us the bang for the buck, that's all it was. It's just going to be interesting, I think, to, in some cases, look at coaches getting fired more as, hey, you're a manager whose team didn't produce enough, more so than, hey, there's not enough, you know, wins and losses, right? Putting more numbers, more of a monetary financial view on it, because it's always been, you know, we can hide behind, oh, your one loss record wasn't good enough. And clearly that's a good enough reason to, you know, get rid of an underperforming coach. But the rationale behind it has been the same the whole time. These results are not worth what we're paying you. We're just being upfront about it now.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. You know, it's just worded different. And also I think there's a, okay, so say for instance, I come in as a freshman or as a redshirt freshman. I play decent. You know, the stars don't align up my sophomore year, but I was still really good in the locker room, good student. And then it comes my junior year. As you say, you're evaluating Jay Foreman going into your junior year. Well, I've already built up that equity, right? Where that you can trust, like, okay, he's going to have a bounce back year because of, say, whatever factors are going on there. That's where you to start to evaluate. You know, you got to look at the coaches as well. You got to get, if you earn the benefit of the doubt, probably what at that time maybe Scott did and where other guys, you know, are trying to do that, then you can kind of really work through those because you'll really separate the universities. And it's kind of like the Pittsburgh Steelers with Mike Tomlin, whatever you think about him. He's a winner. So he's built up the equity.
Well, right? It's Steelers versus Pirates.
Right. Steelers versus the Pirates. It's the Steelers versus the Cleveland Browns, where you're quick to, or the Steelers versus the Carolina Panthers, whereas like you just hiring dudes, firing them in 10 weeks. Like you're not giving them a chance, you know, mm-hmm. You're just blowing everything up. And then, you know, and so you can't just be so fixated on what you're getting. You got to really look at the whole thing. And because there's a lot of things that go into, you know, could you really evaluate David Carr at Houston as it was, he really worth the number one pick? When
I don't know, Jay, could you?
He got sacked officially 82 times. I always say it's time and a half.
In how many games?
16.
5 times a game.
82
that
times.
That man's jersey turned green.
That's official. I always say it's time and a half of what you probably got hit. So can you really say, okay, he can't read defenses? Well, every time he snapped the ball, he's ready just.
He's looking at right. 5 of the guys on the right. defense.
So you got to always kind of look at everything and. Words. It'd be interesting. I think the conversation next year would be different. 2 years from now would be different. 5 years now from be different. And 10 years from now, I bet you we'll be having the conversation that we had 3 years ago.
Two more cuts from Troy Dan and wrapping up Hour 2 of Old School after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Putting a bow on Hour 2 of Old School. That's not the end of the show. We still got Hour 3 to go. A couple more things to get to from Nebraska Athletic Director Troy Dannon. Let's hear from him about using Nebraska's venues entrepreneurially. What does that mean? Here's the Husker AD.
Last year, I think internally, one of our big focuses was nutrition and getting Flick off the ground. This year, it's the events planning. And getting a... We've hired two of a three-person events crew, special events division, if you will. We have to use our venues. One, a 10,000 seat venue. We have PBA at 16, and then we have obviously have the stadium. We have to start thinking entrepreneurially. The days are past when we can just rely on, hey, there's 7 home football games and we're going to shutter the stadium. We have to find ways to generate revenue. And I know everybody's tired of hearing about it, but we have to generate revenue outside of raising ticket prices. And one of the ways to do it are capitalizing the venues. One, it's also great for the community. It's heads in beds, but we have to start thinking heads in beds. We have to start thinking and acting like we're a convention visitors bureau. We can't be passive any longer and say, I hope somebody calls us and wants to perform in our stadium. So the idea of this events group is to actively pursue events.
On the one hand, better late than never. You just start being aggressive instead of passive. I mean,
I'll start punching ghosts if you tell me that that's really okay. There are people, there are businesses that would love to be in those venues. They aspire to be in those venues. As a matter of fact, they propose to be in those venues. And there are people in place in those venues who keep those people out of doing business in those venues. Figure those people out. Like, this is the one area I will throw punches at ghosts. There are people that want to be in the building. They want to help
they
you
want
make
to
money.
Pay you
they want to
be
help
in the building.
You make money in those venues, and you won't let them. You will not let them. Why? Because you don't have bandwidth. You don't have the emotional capacity. You those people are insecure and don't want those people in the space. No, there's a way. There are people that, if you let the fan base literally just told you 2 weeks ago, for the right amount of money, for the right ticket price, we'll pack that building. Mm-hmm. You said no, here's the wrong price, stay home. Like, you can't
if you price it, they will come.
That's really what it comes about. A game.
Well, number one, the game. Number two,
an event, the
open practice, right? That was there. You think about, you know, Troy Dannon mentioned a lot of concerts, even just like simple like conventions, right? Coming to these arenas that Nebraska hasn't necessarily rented out the space for.
Yeah.
And I think the other part that he would go on to mention later, cut it off because he kind of rambled, is Lincoln's not a huge town. Lincoln's also not a small town. You know, there's no reason Omaha has to get everything, right? Lincoln can dabble in some of that too. Now, it's going to take investment from the city to some degree, right? You need more hotel space. You need more of that, yada, yada. That's why Nebraska's not hosting a lot of, you know, basketball tournaments here in Lincoln in terms of, you know, NCAA NIT sort of thing.
The all-city tournament for basketball that doesn't exist.
Exists. Right. There's like, a simple one that you're just not doing, and for why?
Because you have the same people making the same decisions. I don't know. What if you brought a pro volleyball tournament to Pinnacle Bank Arena instead of allowing it to go to C.H. Eielson in Omaha? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe women's volleyball would be big in Lincoln, Nebraska on a professional level with a ton of former Huskers playing. I don't know. Maybe you could work a deal with the Savannah Bananas because they really like Nebraska athletes who, I don't know. Maybe there's a way.
Maybe. One final thing from Troy Dannon before we go to break. Nebraska football scheduling. He was asked about that, what that'll look like for the Huskers moving forward.
So a couple things. With the exception of what we did with Tennessee as relates to the football schedule, the schedule here, and I haven't really touched it, is virtually complete through 2032. We have, I think, 28 Arizona. Arizona is 28-31 in a home and home. I don't know which is which. Oklahoma is 29-30 home and home. And then we have Oklahoma State right behind that. So, you know, a perfect schedule today until if the CFP looks different and says you need to schedule this way or the Big Ten does something different, is a home and home against an A4 by a G6 and an FCS. And that's kind of the way it's set up. I do not expect to touch the schedule to make any scheduling decisions until after the stadium is done and after the CFP decides what maybe its model is going to be. It's like basketball. You have to schedule to get into the postseason. You have to. And I don't care if we haven't been close to it. That's where we want to be. That's how we have to schedule. So we'll schedule in what is optimal to get into the postseason.
Jay Foreman, your reaction.
I don't really know enough about it to really, you know, say yeah. Now, I mean,
there's a big picture though. We have to schedule in a way that helps us get into the postseason.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. I mean, the SEC has been doing that for, you know, years and years and years. So if they're going to do it, there's no reason. You know, it's one of those things. Like, I guess an analogy is in basketball, right? There's a right way and a wrong way to play basketball. But if you're going to a tryout, you if everybody's not playing it right, then you got to play that way. So you got to play the way that they play, and then obviously let your play, obviously work itself out. I think the bigger thing is that when you think about not, and I have experience with this based on the Houston Texans, right? And I knew Mr. McNair pretty decent, and I know Cal, you know, pretty dang well, right? Is that it dawned on me, I will never forget asking him this, and, you know, and when we got there, I went to Houston Rodeo of all places, right? And it was fun, and it was different, right? You had Beyonce performed and all this other stuff, and Ashanti performed, and it was different. It was like a whole weekend, right? But I remember we were about to play a game, and we had a walkthrough. And so we'd leave in the meeting rooms and go in there. There was the turf was not in there. Well, he's like, oh, tonight, I remember seeing Mr. McNair, he'd stop by, and he's like, oh, tonight, you know, so-and-so's performing. He's like, it helps pay for the stadium. Mm-hmm. So it lets me know that, like, when you're thinking about that, yeah, sure, you know, like, however many years ago, is that those type of things, concerts and conventions and all that, they essentially do a lot. They can pay a lot of money. Now, Houston's different. Obviously, third largest, you know, city in the nation, but also open my eyes to how you can use your facility, stadium, whatever, or stadiums to make money.
A lot going on there from Nebraska Athletic Director Troy Dannon. We'll turn the page more to NFL when we get back for Hour 3 of Old School. DPJ Austin Norman with you more for Hour 3 of Old School right after this.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.